Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos, daf Tzadi. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing the different midos, the different measuring tools that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So that says our Mishnah as follows. Kol midos shebe mikdash hoyu nekdashes. All the measuring utensils in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple were those that, to hold its volume that it needed to have, which, as we said in previous Mishnahs, what they were for the dry, for the solids, and for the liquids, that there has to be a loig, different types of measurements, it would maintain it when it's overflowing. Chutz mishal kohen gadol, the one exception was that which the kohen gadol utilized for his michas chavitin, shahayu goitcha l'teicha, that its overflow was inside of it, meaning to say that even when it was leveled, it would maintain its isarin that it needs for the chavitin, which with other vessels had to overflow. Here, even when it was level, it already had its overflow inside of it, meaning it had the Yisarim without overflowing. Now, continues the Mishnah with the following three machlokes. Says the Tanna Kamma, midas halach, the measuring tools of liquids, beirut sehen, because by liquid vessels, there's also an overflow, which that's the element that falls out from the vessel after you fill up and then falls out, that's called beirut sehen, are kodesh. The overflow is sanctified. Umidus hayavish, however, regarding the vessels that were measuring tools for solids, beiritzein chayal, their overflow is non-sacred. It's not sanctified. That's the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Akiva, he says as follows, and we'll see the Gemara explain the differential between them and the machlekes. It says, midus halach kodesh, the measuring tool of the liquids, those vessels were sanctified. Lafikich beiritzein kodesh, therefore, their overflow is sanctified. Midas Hayavish Chayli says the whole tool, the whole measuring tool of solids were not sacred. Lefikach Beirut Sein Chal, that's why their overflow is mundane. Now Rabbi Yisrael, in a third opinion, says, Loi Mishum Zeh. So it says, that's not the reason why, because most definitely he says, all the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, including the Midas of Yavish, were sanctified. Ella, the reason why they're different is, Shehalach Neker, regarding liquid, what falls into the vessel first, when you add more liquid, so it creates a flow, what was on the bottom gets pushed up to the top, and what was just poured in now goes down to the bottom. So it comes out, whatever is the overflow was at one point in the vessel. That's why the Berutzei, he's saying, like Rabbi Kiba, yes, the Berutzei Choylag and Mikaydish, and v'hayavish ein neker. The contrast is, I agree to you that the berutzei chayil, the berutzei yavish are going to be chayil, but not because the kalim are not kaidish. The kalim are kaidish there. It's just that when you're pouring solid, so it's filling up, flour, filling up, and when you're by the overflow, it just stays in its place. So therefore, what's in the vessel is sanctified, what's outside is not sanctified. So it's the same halacha, but based on a different machlekes they have regarding are the midas hayavish chayil or kaidish. So the Gemara first asked regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah who says that all the midas of Yavish, all the solid measuring tools in the Beis HaMikdash were nigdashes, required an overflow, except for that one of the Kohen Gadol, which, as we have said in the previous daf, that the sarin of the Kohen Gadol, according to everyone, was leveled, that it was not overflow. But the inference of the Mishnah is, but all the midas Yavish in the Beis HaMikdash were nigdashes. Who is that like? Because we had a two-way machlekes. Ira Meir, if it's like a Meir, who he says, as we explained in the previous mission, that there were two Isroines in the Beis HaMikdash, that there was Isaron and Isaron and a half of Isaron. So the problem is, Chad God the Shava. There was only one overflow. What are you saying? All the Midas. What are you saying? All the Midas. There was only one that was Godish that was overflowed. And Ira Banan, and if it's like the Rabbanan, but that one, that if you can say it's like Rabbanan, Chada, there was only one, and that one itself was a machikava, was actually leveled, as the Gemara had said previously from Reb Meir, we couldn't send Rabbanan because that one was used for the chavitin, and the chavitin was machik, and therefore, according to Rabbanan, that one Yisrael was also machik. So, who are you going like when you say all the midas hayavish were gaidish? It's not like either one of the two opinions. According to Rabbanan, actually none of them were gaidish. According to Reb Meir, only one of them was gaidish. So, Rav Chizdi says, La'olam Reb Meir. You're right, the Tana of Mishnah is like Reb Meir. Well, my kol midas, what does it mean, all the measurements? Don't say that it means all the midas that were there were gedushas, because there was actually only one. It means kol medidos. All the measurements in the Beis HaMikdash that were measured with that one isaron. For example, when you're doing a keves or an ayil or a par, that they're all going to be nikdashas, although they're different amounts of flour. Whichever one you're going to measure is going to be godish to get to that amount of flour. But again, not that there was more than one, there was actually only one that was godish, because the other one was machuk. Now the Mishnah then said, as we mentioned, this three-way machleik is, the Tanakhama said, midi salach, that regarding the measurements of the liquid, that beritzein kodesh, the overflow is sanctified, in contrast to those of the solids, the overflow is mundane. Rabbi Akiva said that, seemingly the same idea, that he says that, yes, the overflow is going to be kodesh by liquid, but not by choil. And so Rabbi Yisi seemingly said the same thing. So the Gemara is, but Mike and regarding what exactly are they disagreeing about? So this is the Gemara, the difference is as follows. Tanakama held, midas halach, nimshucha beimim bifnim, beimim bachutz. Those measuring tools for liquids in the Beis HaMikdash were the liquids were sanctified on the inside and the outside. What do you mean when we say the outside? Meaning even the top, the edge of the vessel on the top, which is not considered from the inside, but rather from the outside, that upper tip was sanctified. And therefore, whatever overflows has gotten, even if it's on the top, it's flowing over, has gotten from the sanctity of the outside, the external part of the vessel. Therefore, it's going to be sanctified. Midas yavish, but in contrast by the solid vessels, for the solid measurements, nimshucha mebefnim, v'loim nimshucha mebechutz. That was only sanctified in the inside, not on the outside. That's why Tanakhama said that beritzein achel, the overflow is going to be not sanctified. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva Sabbah, he held, midas halach nimshucha mebefnim bemebechutz. He says, no. Like the Tanakhama said, that by liquid, yes, both the inside and the outside were sanctified. But he says, but that which was used to measure solids was actually not sanctified at all. And that's why he says in the Mishnah that the whole measurement was mundane. Now, so then the question is, so then why what's even inside is going to be sanctified? Is because that's based, like Rashi says, Kedushas HaPeh. The person sanctifies a certain amount. He verbalizes he wants to bring this flower offering to the Beis HaMikdash. So whatever he needs is sanctified. But the overflow, he's not going to sanctify because that he doesn't need. And you can't say it becomes sanctified by virtue of being in the vessel because the vessel is not sanctified. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yitzi Sabahiel, he says, no, both vessels are sanctified, both only on the inside and not on the outside. But over here, the reason is that we're saying that the lach by the liquid, Beirut saying the overflow is going to be kaidish, is simply because the lach necker, as he says in the Mishnah, by liquids, everything, when you pour in liquid, everything gets pushed away. Whatever's overflowing is really coming from inside the vessel. But in contrast, by solids, it doesn't uproot. And therefore, whatever was up on top, since we said the outside is not sanctified, that's what's not going to be sanctified. So although they're essentially agreeing to the halacha that they're saying regarding the berutze of the lach, it's going to be kaidish, regards in contrast, but that of yavish is not going to be. But they're fundamentally different in how they understand the properties of the midas in the Beis HaMikdash. Which again, according to the Tanakhama, the midas hayavish, as the Gemara explained, is going to be different than that of the lach, because the midas hayavish is not nimshach mibachutz. That's the reason. According to Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, the reason is because midas yavish is not nimshach kol ikr, it's not sanctified at all. But again, what's inside is going to be sanctified because of Kedushas Peh. Whereas according to Rabbi Yasi, he'll say, no, actually, all of them are not nimshach bebechutz. The reason why that of lach is berutzin going to be kodesh is simply because it comes from inside. Now, that is the Gemara, v'chi nekar mayhava, but what does Rabbi Yasi gain? Who cares that the liquid is coming from what's inside? But gavro lamaydi tzarech, a person for what he needs, meaning what's inside the vessel, kamechavin, that's what he's intending to sanctify, not for the overflow. So why does the overflow become sanctified? If you're saying that it's what's inside that gets sanctified, and outside there's nothing that's going to sanctify it, so then why does it get sanctified? It should be like the way we explained for Rabbi Akiva regarding why by the midas yavash what's inside becomes sanctified, because that's what he needs. What's more than that he doesn't need. So Amr of Dimi Bar Shishn Meshmei Derabi says, Zaysimeh, so that tells us, Klei Sharis Mekadosh Shlemidas, you're right, a service vessel in the Beis HaMikdash will sanctify even if the person is not intending to sanctify that element. In this case, the Beirutzin, where, although he's not intended to sanctify, but it went inside, and that's what Rabbi is describing, and then it gets pushed out, so therefore it becomes sanctified. That's one approach. Rabbi Nam, he says, no, Lo'ilam Eim Lachal, truth will I tell you, Klei Sharis Mekadosh Shlemidas. No, service vessel is only sanctified with intention. So then the question is, so then why do the berutzim become sanctified if the chutz is not sanctifying and it's only the inside and what he intends to put inside, which is only that amount, the overflow is not intending to put inside as it gets pushed out, so then why do we consider the berutzim of the lach going to be kaidish? because it's concerned that maybe people are going to say that whoever's going to see this, that he's going to see that the overflow is not going to be sanctified, even though it's coming from the inside. They're going to say, "Oh, okay, so I see mitzin mikli sharis l'chayil, that you could take from what was sanctified in the vessel and use it for mundane purposes." Now that only applies by lach. In contrast, by yavish, it's not coming from the inside of the vessel like we described. You're filling a flour. It's going to be coming from the top. So no one's going to say, "Oh, you're taking out what was in the kli sharis and using for mundane properties," because it didn't come from inside. Whereas by lach, since it's coming from inside, so not like we understood before the difference sanctified, but simply because, yeah, it's not sanctified because Shlemi does. But as a gzeru, because people might think it's coming from what's inside of klisharis and was sanctified, and we're using for chel, that's why rabbinically we consider that as kodesh. Maaseh Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira asked on this interpretation that we just said, that it's a rabbinic concern from a mission later on of Kofim and Alf. The Mishnah says, Sidres alechem. Let's say someone organized the breads, the lechem upon them on the shulchan, vesa bezichin, and the two spoonfuls of frankincense la'achar Shabbos. Not like as one is supposed to do on Shabbos, but rather after Shabbos, let's say on Sunday. Vikdres bezichin Shabbos, and the coming Shabbos, he then goes and sacrifices the two spoonfuls of frankincense. Says the Mishnah, psula, so it's going to be invalid. The reason is because it's what's called mechusas man. It's lacking the appropriate time to be able to bring this carbon of the bezichin, of the levainim, because the halacha is it has to be on the shulchan 7 days, and it was only there 6 days. Says the Mishnah, Ketzayasa, so how should they do this? Yanechen l'shabbos haba, you should leave it for the following Shabbos for a total of 13 days. Because shafilahu al shulchan yom rabim, because even though it's on the shulchan for many days, for example, like here where it had 6 days from the previous week, in Bekachlum says the Mishnah, that's no problem. It's no problem about being on the shulchan too long. But you can't do it too less. So there you have to leave it to the following week. On that, as the Gemara, Bavamai, why is Ein Bekal Klum, why is it no problem? You're right that although Lina being left overnight is not a problem by the Shulchan, where there it could be left over, but Hasim Nami Lema Gezerah, but there you should also say, like you're saying over here in this context, that it should be rabbinic concern and decree, Shema Yemu, because maybe people who see this might say, Mafkidim Bekli Sharis, that you could deposit something in a service vessel, leave it there in a holy thing, that as long as in the Kli Sharis, oh, you see, it does not become invalidated by Lina. Because you see, the breads was there more than it's supposed to be on the shulchan, and it didn't become possible. And the problem with that is people are going to start validating something that really will become possible by Lina, even though it's in the Kli Sharis. That's what they're saying, that people will, they're concerned about mafkid in the Kli Sharis, like a pekan, like deposit, that shouldn't get lost and invalidated as long as it's there. But halacha is not like that. So then why is it any different than the way you're describing where, oh, people might think, it might seem a Kli Sharis l'chayil, so therefore we're going to make it possible here too. Then if you're concerned about that, then you should say the same thing with the Shulchan, that people might think that, oh, there's no problem with Lina. You see on the Shulchan, it was a Kli Sharis, it didn't become possible here also, which not the case. It's only by unique by there. So why didn't you make the Gezerah there too? Says the Gemara, no. Pinim, the order and the organization of the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan, that's inside the Heichel, that's in the sanctuary. Achutz, regarding what's outside in the Azara, which is the measurements of the flour offering, which are done in the courtyard, Karamas, you're asking and posing a question? That's not difficult. Panim, lav kulam yadi, what's inside the Eichel, not everybody knows. Chutz kulam yadi, what's on the outside, everybody knows. All the Jewish people that are watching what's going in the Azara, they see. Therefore, that's what we said, we have to make a gzera and say, even consider Birutzin, as even though really biblically, as we're giving that second interpretation, is really chayil, because his kavanah was not to sanctify more than what he needed inside, but rabbinically, people might think mitzim mikli sharis l'chel, but what goes on inside the heichel, not everybody knows what's going on over there, and therefore there's no reason to make a gzera. The kahanim, they know there's reason, and the rest of the Jewish people, they don't see, and therefore that's not a question. Now, continuing a related discussion regarding this that we're describing about the beirutzin, as we saw it said in the Mishnah regarding the overflow. So tznan hasam within the Mishnah Masech Deshkalim says meisin nesachim, the leftover of the libations, l'kayit hamizbeach, that goes when the altar is idle and there's no karban is being brought. So then from this meis nesachim, which we're going to shortly explain what that is, they would bring lambs to bring as a karban ayla, and they would use it for what's called kayetz hamizbeach. Kayetz is like a terminology used for dveilas, dried figs. Like person for dessert after he ate a meal, they bring him figs, as the Gemara says in the first pek of Masechta Shavuos. It's like kayetz, like these dries, these b'nai shuach, which are these delicacy of these dried figs for a person. It's like a dessert. It's like when the mizbeach is finished eating, so then, and nothing's being brought, so we bring these, what's called these kayetz mizbeach, these karbanos ayla for the mizbeach. So on that says the Mishnah, so my meis nesachim, says the Gemara, what's the meis nesachim? So Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Amar explains the Mishnah. He says, it's Beirut Zemidis. It's this that we were just talking about in the Mishnah. It's the overflow of the measurements. Where you have the Nesachim and you have this overflow. That overflow is obviously not being used over here because it's more than what's needed. Those excess is what's called the Meis Nesachim. It's a leftover of the Nesachim. And that's used to purchase Karbanis when the Mizbeach is idle and there's no Karbanis being brought. He gives a different interpretation. It says, no, it's like that which we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim. The Mishnah there says, regarding a merchant who received monies from the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, HaMakabal Alav L'Sapik Salasas, he took upon himself to provide the flour for the Beis HaMikdash, which a lot of flour is used in the Beis HaMikdash, for all the menachas, all the flour offerings that were brought that entire year. Now, the contract was, Me'arba, that for 4 sa'in of flour, the Beis HaMikdash is paying a seller. But then, by the time he delivers the produce, the price went up. Va'amdu b'shalish. It actually went up in price that now 3 sa'in of flour is already that amount of a seller. So that says the Mishnah. Still, Yisapik Ma'arba is less to provide the earlier, cheaper price of 4 sa'in just for a seller. The reason for that is because when Hekdash gives money, the acquisition is done. And the way we know that is like the Pasuk says, that if someone gives money to the Beis HaMikdash, it already has been established. Money is considered a final acquisition in contrast to a commoner for the sale. And therefore, even though they didn't deliver the goods yet, it's already considered final. And therefore, he has to provide at the cheaper price that they had made the contract. Now, however, as the Gemara contains some advice, in the reverse is also true. Let's say Mishalish, let's say the price was 3 sa'in for a seller. Va'amdu me'arba, and before they delivered, actually the price had gone down. And now it's going to be 4 sa'in for a seller. Says the Mishnah, Mesapik me'arba, he has to provide now for the cheaper price right now, with he's going to have to give 4 sa'in for a seller. Now, the reason for this is because we don't want to have that the laws for a common person should be more stringent than that of a Hekdash. A common person, as long as he didn't take the merchandise, he could still back out. And therefore, Shayat Hekdash Aliyana, we want that the hand of Hekdash should have the upper hand. When it has the gain for Hekdash for money, then we do it that way. But if it would be more of a gain, like a commoner for Meshicha, then we go with that way too. Now, but one thing we see, and that's what the Gemara is describing in the second interpretation, that extra saw that he's giving to Hekdash right now, because really Hekdash only needed a certain amount, and they were getting 3 saw per sella. Now the price had went down and they're getting 4 saw for a seller, which is extra saw they didn't need for each seller. That's called the Meis Nesachim, which the reason why it's called Meis Nesachim, although we're talking about flour, is because that flour was used for the Minchas Nesachim, which would brought with all these carbons that they would bring. And that's what the second interpretation is saying, is that's used for the Kaitz HaMizbeach, that's the Meis Nesachim that we were talking about. Says the Gemara, Tanika Vasidra B'chiba Yeh. So we have a braisa supporting the first interpretation. And Tanika Vasidra B'chiba Yeh, a braisa supporting the second interpretation to explain that mission that we described, that what is this Meis Nesachim that was used for the Kaitz HaMizbeach to buy these karbanis when the Mizbeach was idle. As the Gemara says, Tanika Vasidra B'chiba Yeh, Beritze Midis Halalu, these overflow of the measurements, because when they're filling it up, it overflows, Maha Yoisim. And what would they do with this? So Im Yesh Zabach Acher, if there's another carbon, so Yakiv Yimai, so they would bring it for that carbon. Vimlanu, and if it was left overnight, because there was no other carbon, so Yipasam Lina, then becomes invalidated with Lina, as we said, because it became sanctified when it was being filled up. Now Vimlav, if it didn't become invalidated, so Mekitzim Ben Nesamizbeach, then they could go ahead, if it wasn't filled up in the vessel, they could separate it and set it aside for the Mizbeach. And v'kayitzeh mahu, what is this, the dessert, what's this that's set aside for the Mizbeach? It's oilis, it would be for totally burnt sacrifices that habasal Hashem, v'oilis ha'ganim, that the flesh, the meat would go to Hashem on the fire, and the hides would be given to the ganim. That's like the first interpretation, that's the kayitzeh Mizbeach. Tanigav v'seid rabiechon, we have a braisa supporting rabiechonon, ha'makabal of the sapik salasim ha'arav, if someone takes upon themselves as a merchant to provide for the Beis HaMikdash 4 sa'an of flour for a seller, vam de mishalish, and then the price goes up. So as we said, mesapik ma'arav, he's less to provide the earlier cheaper price, because the sale was done with the transfer of funds. But let's say the other way around, mishalish vam de ma'arav, but let's say it was expensive, and then the price actually went down to 4, you can get even for one seller 4 sa'an of flour. Then mesapik ma'arav, he has to give the cheaper price now of 4, Shayat Hekdash Aliyan, like we said, because the hand of Hekdash has the upper hand, when it's better to be like Hekdash it is, when it's better to be like a head, they have that too. V'zer Shashanina, and says this price. This is what we learned, that Mois Nesachim L'kaitz Mizbech, and that Mishnah that says that the excess of Nesachim goes for the, when the Mizbech is idle, again, it's referring to this that we described when there's, Beis HaMikdash now has excess flour, they would use that to sell that to get these karbanis to bring, like we see, the both interpretations are actually Tanakh opinions in prices. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme regarding the niske, the libations that come with the karbanis, like we said, par and ayil and the kebis, they have a certain amount of flour and oil and wine that come with their karbanis. So that says the Mishnah, kol karbanis atzibah b'hayachah tu'un nesachim. All public and private karbanis require, when it's brought with it, libations, like we said, as the mincha that comes with it, and it comes with wine libations. Chutz min abachar, except for the firstborn animal of any female animal, which that's a gift that's given to the kohen, is brought as a carbon. Va'meiser, the tenth of every new animal. Va'pesach, the carbon pesach. Va'chatas, a sin offering. Va'ashem, a guilt offering. Ella, but, however, says the Mishnah, there are two exceptions to that. Shechatasei shel metzara, va'ashamai, when the metzara brings his chatas and his ashem, to nesachim. So although we said that chus mechatas va'ashem, the chatas and ashem and metzara requires nesachim, because the pasuk explicitly says, which is unique by the Metzayra, that it requires Nesach. Now the Gemara elaborates and elucidates the Halacha of our Mishnah. Tanabon, what in the Brisa? It says in the Pasuk by Midbar, V'asisim ish shel Hashem, you should make a fire offering for Hashem, which it says regarding when you bring a carbon oilo or a carbon. Now this is by the Parsha of Nesachim in Parsha Shlach, which tells us that you have to bring Nesachim libations when you bring a carbon. Says the Brisa, so yachal kala oilo le'ishim, yei ta'in Nesachim. You would think like the Pasuk says, a fire offering for Hashem, whatever is put up on the fires in the Mizbeach should require Nesachim. And therefore, I would say, even a flower offering, which the kemitzah is burnt on the mizbech. Tamalei ma'ayla says, no, a burnt sacrifice, which is a carbon type, which is an animal sacrifice. Now, shlam minayin, how do we know that a shlamim, a whole offering, which is called a shlam, a peace offering, that also requires nesachim? Tamalei ma'zavach, it says oila or zavach, it's a sacrifice, a slaughtered sacrifice. Tamalei ma'ayzavach, it says, or a sacrifice which the extra word is including the carbon tide. Continues the Brisa, so yachal shani marbas. I would think, okay, so I would also include af bachar, umaiser, upesach, bachatas, va'asham, that they're just like all these other carbons that we're including, that they should also require nesach. Tamalim, though, the pasuk says over there, lafali neder ibn adave, if he goes and he's explicit and he says a vow or he's donating a carbon, so he has to bring nesachim, which teaches us. If it's the type of carbon that can be brought as a vow or donation, then it requires the libations. If it cannot be brought as an nedava, it does not require nesachim. So from that pasuk, we understand to exclude the bechari, ma'isa, pesach, chatz, asham, that they're not donated carbonas, they're obligatory carbonas. Now, but if that's the case, continues the brisa, so itzias chayvos habois makmasar regel beregles, and then I would think to exclude all types of obligations, even those which come on the yomtiv, because of a requirement of the yomtiv. Umayninu, what are that referring to? Eilis ri'ya, certain karbanos eilu, when one sees the divine presence sees him when he comes to the Beis Hamikdash three times a year, and the shalosh regalim, he has to bring karban eilu. V'sham echagiga, and there's certain shlamim, which these are the two types of karbanos, like it says le'yiroa ponerekim, and the chagiga that's brought for as a shlamim for the yomtiv, that they also would be excluded because they're chayvis. Now, in contrast, as Rashi in the printed version says, well, what's with the mesafin and then the obligations of the yomtiv? Why doesn't it say to exclude that too? Because that's also not brought neder nedava. So it says Rashi, no, because the pasuk explicitly says regarding them that require nesachim. But we would think that we would exclude the oilis ri'i neshal mechagiga. Tamalama, that's the pasuk teaches over there, oy b'mayadechem, or on your holidays, that your kabbanis require nesachim. Which teaches you, kal haba b'mayadechem, tar nesachim, whatever is brought on the yomtiv requires nesachim. So mashmal hevias elu. So that we understand that that's including the oilis ri'i neshal mechagiga in requiring libations. But continues the braisa, so avisi rechatas. So I would think to include the he-goats of the sin offerings that are also brought on Yom Tov, since they're brought on the Moed, it should require Nesachim, which that refers to the Mesachim of the Regalim, where by all of them it says, you should have Besir Chatasecha, you have to bring one he-goat of a sin offering on the Yom Tov, which all these Pesukim are there in that parasha in Nesachim. So you would think, that since it's an obligation that comes on the Yom Tov, that it should also require Nesachim. Now, Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches in the later on pasuk in pasuk ches says v'chisase ben bakar, that when you're going to make a young cattle as a carbon, that's what this parasha is told about nesachim. Now the question is ben bakar bechlal haya, the cattle, the young animal, was included in Basisim Isha, which from there we understand whatever is put on the fire is requiring the Sachem, except for all those which we learned down in the Pesachim that we're excluding. So Balama Yatza, why does it say explicitly V'chisase ben Bakr? Is Lahakash, I love, is to equate to a ben Bakr, to the young ones of the cattle, to tell you Ma ben Bakr miyuchad, just like it's distinct regarding the young animal. That Baba Nedav and Nedav, that ben Bakr could be brought, you could bring a Bakr, you could bring from the cattle as a donation or a vow. I've called Bob and Nedav and Nedav. It's teaching you also that whatever can be brought as a Ned and Nedav, which excluding the Seiri Chatas, because although it's something that's brought on the regal, and it's a Chayva, just like we find by Ilustri and Shalma Chagiga, but it's also a Chatas. And we never find the Chatas brought in Ned and Nedav, and therefore that's explicitly excluded from requiring the Sachem. Now, the Gemara continues, the Pasuk says, Lasis Reich Nicheich Lashem, that one should make a pleasant aroma for Hashem, Min HaBokar Ay Min HaTzayin. But that the Gemara continues expounding the pasuk that it says over there, "Lazis reich nicheich laHashem," to make a pleasant aroma for Hashem, min haBakar and min haTzayin, from the cattle, from the flock. So ask the Braisa, "Matam Olayma," what is this teaching? It already says zevach, which that we said oiloi zevach requires nesachim, and obviously cattle and flock are included in the animal sacrifices. What's the teaching? Says the Braisa, "Lefishenem or oilo," because it said, as we said in the pasuk, "Oilo izavach." So I would think, whatever is an oilo, complete burnt sacrifice would require nesachim. Shemayanis, I would hear from that. Afil oilo sa'if b'mashma, even a bird oilo should require nesachim. Tamalema min abaka min atzayin divrei b'di Yeshubis. It says that's qualifying and saying only from cattle and flock. The animal oilo sacrifices or other animal sacrifices, certain ones require nesachim, but bird oilo does not require. That's Rabbi Yeshua's interpretation. He says, no, ain't it tzarech. He says, you wouldn't need this pasuk to teach that to exclude the oila salif, because the pasuk says, the animal sacrifice. V'oif ein zavach, a bird carbon is not with zvicha, which is slaughtering. It's actually done with malika, with the thumbnail of the kayin. So obviously, it's not included. So he has to come up with a different interpretation. What is the pasuk then teaching what we didn't know already from zavach, when we're saying from the cattle or the flock? So he's coming to teach something else. Because the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says, if a person amongst you is going to bring a sacrifice for Hashem, min ha-behema, from the animal, min ha-bakar, from the cattle, or min ha-tzayin, from the flock. Now, yachal ha-ima, you would think, ha-ima, whoever says, ha-ima ha-re'olai oila, if someone says, I'm taking upon myself a neder to bring a carbon oila, that yavi mishneyim, he would have to bring from both bakar and tzayin, because it says, if someone's bringing from you a behema, min ha-bakar, u min ha-tzayin. Avav means and, that you would have to bring both. Tamalayim, that's why we need our pasuk, min habakar ay min hatzayin. From the cattle or the flock, the ay is coming to differentiate and separate, that if ratza echad mevi, if he wants to, he can bring one. Ratza shnayim mevi, if he wants, like the other pasuk says, he can bring two. But that's why we need our pasuk to say that either or, you don't have to bring both. Now that says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yenison, who we just quoted his interpretation, lama likra, why does he say you need the pasuk to separate and say you don't need both? You could either have one or the other. But Amar, he's quoted many times in Shas in the context of Avivimai Kilil, that if someone curses their parents, that they get punished, which from that pasuk, he says, you would understand that it means whether you do both of them, what's called ke'echad, or whether you do each one individually, that you would be chayiv, until the pasuk is explicitly and says together, then you would think it only has to be together. But even when it says a vav, he says that it wouldn't mean necessarily and, it would mean or. So that's the Gemara's question is, here also, since it says min habaku umin hatzayin, and it doesn't say yachtav, that you need to do both together, so I would understand by the pasuk itself that if you want, you could bring one. Why would you need to have the oi to say and differentiate and say, no, you don't need both? But he never says. He always says vav means or, not and. Says the Gemara, no, it was necessary. Because you would have thought this as we continue top of Tzadi Alvim and Alav, Hayiluk Siv. Since the pasuk says in Meyikra, Umin Hatzayin. Now the pasuk, you're right. Generally vav, like we have by Kilas Aveim, cursing one's parent, vav doesn't necessarily mean and. It can mean or. However, here the pasuk explicitly changes the terminology it used, because right before it said min habakar without a vav. And then it says, U'min ha'tzayin. Oh, why did it change and add a vav over here, when by bakar it said min, and here by tzayin it says u'min, is because precisely so. By bakar, where it's coming to differentiate from min ha'behema, by tzayin, why does it say a vav? It's coming to say, oh, because over here, that you would have to actually go ahead and bring both. Command, I would think that that vav, why changing and saying and, to say you actually have to have both, not either or. That's why you need the pasuk. Even according to Rabbi Yehudah's own interpretation as elsewhere in Shas, he would agree that here the oy has to be used as a way of separating and say you don't have to bring both. But continues the Gemara and asks, but Rabbi Yeshia, Dama, that he says by the other context of cursing one's parent, that if it didn't say cursing for the father, as it says in the pasuk, he kalas aviv, and the pasuk says, Ime kilil, he curses his mother, which separates the two of them. If not for that, Rabbi Yeshia holds, I would have thought to say that actually the liability is only when one curses both them together. That he holds avagav de leich sib yachtav. No, that even if it doesn't say together, kamandach sib yachtav dami, he understands the vav doesn't mean or, it means and. And therefore the pasuk had to separate them to say that the liability is even individually. Libayikra. So according to him, you need the pasuk, as we're saying according to Bienesen, we have to find why here it's different how he usually holds, but Rabbi Yeshia always holds that way, when you have the words umin hatzayin. So back to the question, how does Rabbi Yeshia expound from min habakar ay min hatzayin, for this other drasha that he's saying it's being to exclude ay lasa'ayif, which Bjornsson disagreed, he says you already know from the word zavach, but according to him, how can you say that you need ay to say that it's either or? Because according to him, he understands every vav as and, like as if it's a yachtav. That says the Gemara, no, that's not difficult, because Haksiv, there's already a different pasuk that's already mechalik them. And therefore, he doesn't need oy to be mechalik, and rather he uses it as to say that it's to be memayit oy lasa oif. Because the pasuk says, im oyla karban oy min habakar. It says, first of all, if his oyla is coming from the cattle, and it also says that v'im natsayin karban oy, and if his carbon's from the flock. So, since it says in separate parishes, it's obviously I'm coming to differentiate and say that you don't need both, it could be either or. But Ve'idach, Rabbi Yehudah would tell you, no, the Itzach, no, that you would still need both Pesukim. Because Sagadatach, I mean, you would have thought to say, that Hanemili, when do you say that if you want, you could bring only one and not the other one? That's only B'mefarish. That's only, yeah, the Torah is telling you that when you explicitly say that I want to take upon myself to bring only a lamb, or I only want to bring an ox, that then you could. And that's willing out if you only had one Pasuk. Abastama, but if someone was ambiguous, he just said, I'm taking upon myself to bring an oila, I would think still leisim mitarvay, then he would have to bring from both. Kamash balan, that's what Rabbi says, you actually need both psukim. You need the one over here that we bring from Yeshia of im oila karbonim in abaka of im etzayin karbonim that differentiates them. And you also need the one of oi, because, yes, you would think if you were explicit, the person saying, okay, you could have one or the other. But when you stam, when you just say unspecified that I'm taking oila that from the other pasuk, you would think that you have to have from both of them. That's why you need the pasuk of here, of ay, to come to exclude and say that, no, that a person could always, when he's taking oila, bring only one. It doesn't have to bring both. That's the discussion that the Gemara brings over here regarding why did it have to say in this pasuk, where minaboka and minatzayin, we already understand that that's the two different interpretations of Rabbi Yishon and what are we learning out from this pasuk, minaboka and minatzayin.